Coming up next, WWER presents Your Care Partners, a show dedicated to providing support and education to our community about caregiving. Just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Experienced professional caregivers Jill White and Marty Allman have casual conversations about care, offering advice and tips to help navigate caring for others. Jill White is a certified dementia practitioner and an Alzheimer's Association facilitator for caregiver support groups with over 30 years' experience working in long-term care. Marty Allman is certified as a master trainer for the Best Friends approach to Alzheimer's. She is a certified psychiatric nursing assistant with over 20 years' experience working in long-term care.
Marty Allman.
And I'm Jill White.
We're your care partners, navigating care for others. So I think we're going to talk about today is home safety. Many people may be caring for someone in their home or just someone living independently in their home. But also if you're caring for a family member in your home, you might want to think about how you might want to modify the home to be a little bit safer for your person that you're caring for.
It's difficult to modify their home. I went through a lot of trial and errors with my aunt when trying to make her home safer because it was her home.
Yeah, she I don't want that there. That's not where I keep that.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to be cognizant of that.
I kind of do that with my dad as well. It's easy because you want to make things a little bit easier for you as you're caring for the person.
Well, and safer. I mean, the key is the safety. Right. So they don't always agree.
But sometimes it's what's best.
Just another hurdle that you'll have to jump or fall over either way.
Yeah. So let's talk about safety in the kitchen. We love to decorate our homes and, we often have little matchy-matchy things like matching area rugs and in the kitchen. Those can be a trip hazard for someone. So you have to be real careful, like make sure there's no fringes. Like some people have those spongy mats, and a lot of them are tapered. Mm-hmm. So those are a little bit okay if it's in front of a sink or something like that, so a person has really good grip. But we're talking about, you know, the throw rugs that can slip or have a fringe that can get caught on a shoe or something like that. Also, if your person is having cognitive issues and it may not be safe for them to cook anymore on their own, maybe they can use the microwave. I don't know. But
my aunt did for a long time.
Yeah.
She was able to. Yeah, she stopped cooking on the stove when the eggs exploded when she was making boiled eggs for the last time. Yeah, you have to kind of be aware of all that. And you mentioned something before, somebody with some cognitive issues and also different types of dementia will cause a loss of either peripheral vision or depth perception.
Oh, yeah.
And often people are afraid to step on, sometimes it's even the flooring itself, because to them they just see it's like a hole.
They're
really frightened by that big square. It may just be a big tile that's darker than the other tiles, you know, in a pattern. So it's just good to be aware of those things.
Yeah, a lot of people with dementia and Alzheimer's do really see things totally different. Mm-hmm. And it can be scary. And we had a person that would step over a certain like tile or something and she thought it was a log or when are they going to move that log out of the way?
It's odd. But again, just being aware of it. And there's tons of books and obviously all kinds of research that's been done, so there, you know, get whatever information you can to help, you know, trigger some of the things that you'll want to think about doing.
Just going back to the stove, you can take the knobs off of your stove, the person's stove. They might get a little frustrated with that, but that's another good safety thing. Or you can actually just, you know, maybe have someone come help you and unhook the stove. So the stove's still in the house.
Right.
And that sort of thing. So you're not really changing the environment, but you're making it a little safer.
Yeah.
And honestly, folks, I'm telling on myself right now. You can ask my partner. I always forget to turn the stove off.
Oopsie.
I do. On a regular. So this is something that, you know, nieces and nephews out there.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Turn the stove off. Whatever you got to do, turn the breaker off to the stove. Because I will probably
Send an alarm on your phone.
I do that now. But isn't that terrible? That's just something I do. And I think it's just.
You're just going to part the next of my step without finishing that one.
A lot of times I just move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
People might call it hyperactivity.
Well, and busy, busy caregivers are often being called away constantly. Mm. And, you know, they lose their train of thought,
right.
You know, or whatever's going on because they're dealing with stuff.
And we talked in our other video, too, about the refrigerator safety.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure the light in the refrigerator is working so the person can see what they're taking out of the refrigerator to eat or drink, and that there's not something growing on it.
Yes. Something green and fuzzy.
Right. And periodically, you might want to think about, you know, going into the refrigerator and making sure those things are gone. You know, we don't need salad dressing from 2014. Just not necessary.
It's still good.
It's still good. It's full.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, that can be, you know, you don't want your person on top of whatever diagnosis or whatever they have, you know, getting a stomach bug because they ate something in the refrigerator they should not.
Yeah. And I think
or you getting sick.
As a caregiver, I think you have to give yourself a lot of leeway. Especially if you're dealing with somebody with dementia, you basically cannot lie to anyone that has dementia. Whatever you have to say to make them safe and comfortable and less anxious is fine. And sometimes when cleaning out the refrigerator, you have to be surreptitious. I was very good at being surreptitious. I would sometimes get a phone call later yelling at me, where's my whatever, whatever. I'm like, looked a little brown and fuzzy to me, so I tossed it. I'll bring you some new stuff tomorrow.
Right.
So always trying to be cognitive of that person you're caring for and their needs and their wants and, you know, their mental, you know, happiness. You don't want to feel, and I did in the very beginning, I was a steamrolling. I was going to come in and fix everything,
right.
Do everything, and she tossed me out of my butt. Practically.
Well, it happened to me too.
I had to rethink it.
Yeah. I went into, you know, caring for my dad, like, hey, I got this. I've been doing this for years. Uh-huh. I'm going to be telling everybody what they need to do. And we got this.
This is going
to
be great.
It got on my dad's nerves. Mm. He fired me. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. He fired me once. Yep.
Yeah. So,
we do need to be careful that we're not infringing on you know, someone's life, but
their dignity has to be, you know, kind of brought into play too.
Yeah.
Whether in your home or theirs, it's still, you know, they have to be a big part of it, the biggest part of
it. You know, the people who work in the field are probably like the worst.
Yeah.
Home probably. Because we know it all.
We know everything. You need to listen to us.
Right.
If there's it, you can go home now.
Oh, I heard that a couple times. You know, we laugh, but you know, these things happen. Prepare yourself.
Yeah.
Just know those things happen. I wanted to tell a safety story. In Georgia, I had my own business and I would go to people's homes. I would also visit people that were living in assisted livings or independent livings. And I was visiting with this woman who had mild dementia, and someone had brought her flowers, and there was a vase of flowers on the table. She got thirsty and couldn't remember to go up to the refrigerator and get something to drink. So she drank the water from the vase that had the flowers in it. And those were a particular kind of flower that you really don't want to ingest. And I just kind of figured it out. I didn't watch her do it, but I noticed that morning when I went in, the flowers were there. Mm. And then I went to go do something in the apartment and then, you know, came back and the flowers were out and she was like, oh, I was so thirsty.
Oh,
but
dear.
Yeah. So, you know, we took a trip to the ER because we didn't know, you know, if they had put plant food in that or anything like that. So it was scary. And she ended up being fine. But, you know.
Yeah.
Those things can happen.
And speaking of flowers, there is a list of flowers that are recommended, especially for memory care households, that are definitely non-poisonous.
Right.
So you can, and usually you can ask a florist, but there are lists you could probably get on almost any Alzheimer's website or anything like that. So it's important to know. We used to feel terrible when people would send these beautiful bouquets to our community
for
their loved one, and we'd have to start pulling flowers out of it because we knew. So sometimes it's good to let the local florist, especially if you're in a small town, let them know that anything that's ordered for them or for that household should have non-poisonous. Because sometimes those things look good and they eat them.
Yeah.
That happens too.
People do. They get confused and do things like that. What else in the kitchen?
Knives.
Knives.
No way.
Oh, come on. Yeah. But yes, depending on, you know, your person's.
Yeah. Well, because they may forget how to use a knife and end up, you know, slicing.
Harming themselves or something like that. Yeah. Someone that has memory issues or something like that. Let's see. Let's move on to the living room. We all have that area that, you know, gathers things and clutter. So maybe when you walk into your front door area and you walk into your living room, you know, there might be shoes or coats or backpacks. You know, if this person is living with you and you have a busy life, you know, you might tend to come in and drop those things on the floor.
Right.
and those are obviously tripping hazards for someone.
Especially because they may try to pick it up because in their head, oh, I need to hang that coat up. So now they're falling down because they're trying to pick up whatever you left on the floor.
They're called, they want to be helpful. Right. And so just, you know, be aware of those sort of things. Also in the living room, you know, let's say that this person might spend a lot of time in the living room. This isn't necessarily safety as much as it is quality of life. Mm-hmm. You know, does that person have the things available next to them that they need? Mm-hmm. So you can walk away and do a load of laundry or go out in the yard or whatever. You know, is the TV remote there? Glass of water, their favorite books, their favorite blankets, you know, all of those little things are important. If you think about when you get home from work or wherever you've been, you like your little sitting spot, you know, there's a place to go to relax, you know, and you have all the things that you, you like around you. So just make sure that that person has that, but that's not really a safety thing as much as it is a quality of life
happy thing.
But yeah, since we were on the living room, I thought I'd say that.
And make sure the TV's not too loud. And sometimes it depends on their hearing, obviously.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, again, with dementia, often I hear people all the time and saying, oh, well, the TV's on all day, but he's not really watching it. Well, then it probably doesn't need to be blasting, because if he's not really watching it, it's just sort of background noise. And sometimes that's more intrusive and can make people agitated because they're not, or they're hearing the loudest parts of it. You know, if the news is on or certain news channels, I know a lot of my caregiver support folks say they try to change the channel, but sometimes that's not able
they're
to.
They're newsies.
But again, it's their comfort and their level of whatever it is they need to keep them content. And, you know,
and someone who might have some cognitive issues, a story they hear on TV, you know, a news flash or whatever, you know, breaking news, they all say breaking news anymore, right? You know, they could go into that sort of a panic of, you know, this is happening right now.
Right,
and we've got to go, depending on, you know, their social history and what's gone on in their past. So, yeah, be aware of what's on the TV before you leave to go outside or whatever. And that's kind of a safety thing, because if somebody did go into a panic or become disoriented, and then, you know, the next thing you know, they're, you know, hiding or gathering things to leave or whatever. So that's just something to be aware of. How about the bathroom? What's some safety things in the bathroom?
Well, either no rugs or no slip
right.
floor mats. You know, definitely make sure they have whatever it is on the bottom there that so they're not going to get out and trip and slip.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's a good idea to have some kind of seat. So they're not standing for a long period of time, assuming that this is somebody mm-hmm. that's still getting around on their own. But they will tire more easily, mm-hmm. and that's when somebody might just, you know, fall down or try to sit mm-hmm. down and doesn't work. So
yeah, it's important. Yeah, the bars. So grab bars. And I'm going to put this out there in this way, because you know what? Not everybody can afford to have a guy come in and mm-hmm. install grab bars. But there are organizations I'm sure in your community, someone from a local church or whatever, it's hard to reach out for help. But if you don't know how to install a grab bar and you need grab bars in your shower or next to your toilet or whatever, you know, don't hesitate to
mm-hmm.
call the pastor at the church that's just two blocks away, even if you don't go to church there. Because more than likely, there's somebody in that church that would be so happy to help you. And also, if you know, maybe can't afford grab bars, thrift stores and church bargain basements mm-hmm. and Goodwill, a lot of times we'll have kind of a section mm-hmm. with that stuff in it. So it's, you know, more affordable.
Yeah.
And they may be used. You just bring them home and sanitize them and...
And sometimes you can put stuff out if you have internet access. And I know some of like Marketplace, different things on Facebook where you can put a need out there. And there probably are people that are like, oh my gosh, I have that old wheelchair. It's been in the garage now mm-hmm. since, you know, Uncle So-and-so passed away. Or, you know, we had those grab bars or the toilet seat with the arms that you can actually attach, you know.
Right they on. Have so, these great things. They have these plastic raised toilet seats so the person doesn't have to bend so far to sit down on an average size toilet.
It converts it to a high boy, which is so much easier for mm-hmm. people when they're trying mm-hmm. to get up. And
I mean,
they're right
probably
there.
I don't know how many inches would you say
it's
that
probably
is
about 8 inches that it'll lift.
That was very helpful with my mom. And then they have, of course, the potty chairs. We call them potty chairs, but
the canoes.
Bedside canoe, if you want to be.
The canoe.
Yes.
And there are, you mentioned the church, and I can't think right now, but there is, I know here in the Northern Neck, there's an annual where the churches get together, and they spend the whole day going out and doing work.
Oh, yeah. That's what is that? Operation Inasmuch.
Inasmuch. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Inasmuch.
Yeah.
That's
many
it.
Of the churches will get together one time of year and they find out about needs in the community.
They'll
and
make ramps. They'll fix windows. I mean, almost anything that you mm-hmm. need done. And that's always a good source to get, you know, if you need medical equipment.
Not only that, you know, if you reach out to an organization like that, a lot of times you end up making friends with the people who came to help you.
Absolutely.
And guess what? They're a part of your parachute.
Yeah.
Because they know that you're home with this person or this person is home alone. And, you know, a lot of times they'll reach out and say, you know, is there anything I can do? I can go pick your groceries up. We're getting a little bit off topic, but it's
That's
you know, reaching
works.
Out to different, reaching out to different organizations like, what did I say?
Well, Inasmuch. Or any can call probably any of the churches or synagogues, whatever, and they will know exactly what you're looking for, and they'll be able to put you in touch
with
the organization.
And
the local aging network, whatever that
in youth organizations, is. That sort of thing. A lot of times they're looking for projects. Mm-hmm. Boy Scouts.
Yeah. Boys and Girls
getting
Club,
those
Girl
Eagle
Scouts.
Eagle Scout
yeah.
badges. You know, those are things that people look for projects to do. So that's bathroom. Also, you know, just like you would, and I am not being demeaning in any way, but just like you would for a child, check that water temperature.
Mm.
Make sure the water temperature is appropriate. As we age, our skin gets a lot more vulnerable, loses its elasticity.
Mm-hmm. Very sensitive.
And it's thin. It gets thinner. And so, you know, hot water can really hurt someone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes you actually can, you can usually make an adjustment on the hot water heater and turn the highest temp down somewhat so that it's not going to, you know, boil anybody's skin off when they go to wash their hands. That would be me, because I don't like hot water. I'm a lukewarm kind of person.
Yeah. So. And again, if you don't know how to do that, you know, reach out. Reach out and find someone who does. You may have a neighbor, you know, that knows exactly how to do that.
Yeah.
So that's another one. If your person has some cognitive impairment, let's not leave mouthwash out. Mm. Anything that might look flavorful.
Toothpaste gets eaten a lot.
Yeah.
We had a lot of residents eating the toothpaste.
Yep. And shampoo comes in these beautiful peach-colored, you know, bottles.
Yeah.
Little things like that. Obviously, you know, razors. You know, these are things that people use their entire lives. But depending on the level of their abilities are, I would just kind of keep those things away.
Yeah, I was going to say, often, especially the older beds are very high. Right? So, and they, I mean, I've known so many people that have had like little step stools next to the bed, which can be super dangerous. So there usually is a way, I mean, there's always a way that you can lower the box spring and mattress down so that it's not, you know, somebody's trying to hop up onto the bed and falling off and cracking a hip. So, I mean, it's all these little things that seem simple, but they're, you know, when they're part of your everyday life, it's hard to change and it's hard to get somebody, especially if it's not at their direction. But sometimes you just kind of need to take the initiative when you know it's a safety issue and kind of deal with it.
Kind of leads me into a story. So my best friend growing up, her mother had a stroke and they have a very large family. And so there were people in and out taking care of the mom and the mother. So she had some cognitive issues after her stroke. And so she wasn't aware of the things that she couldn't do anymore because her brain told her she was perfectly fine, but her body didn't want to cooperate. Something they did that I thought was so cool was they had taken pool noodles and put them under the fitted sheet on the bed. So at night when mom would, you know, possibly think about getting up, it slowed her down a little bit. Yeah. Because she had to kind of get her leg over the little bump, the pool noodle under the fitted sheet, and it was like a bumper. It just
so she didn't try to climb over it necessarily.
She couldn't
slow her down.
I don't mean that in a bad way, but it slowed her down if she was trying to climb over it long enough for somebody to come into the room and help her. And that brings up another thing. So we talked about in one of our other episodes. Cameras.
Oh, yes.
And,
oh,
you know, they are really important. And I have a little bit of hesitation about cameras. I'm not suggesting that cameras are bad or anything like that. But for me, privacy is really important. So something that we did was we used a baby monitor. And that was a way to hear what was going on, but you weren't invading somebody's privacy.
Right.
Or that person could call and say, hey, you know, I need some help up here. Something fun to get if your person is still, you know, very cognitively there. Walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
I mean, Roger, I need a glass of water or some popcorn or whatever. You're giving that person space, but they can be in touch with you. And nowadays we have cell phones and things like that. But
well, even like, you know, Alexa or Google, I think I told you, my kids have, I guess it's Google Home or whatever with their dad who's blind and they can drop in. There's usually an indication that somebody's dropping in on you, but they can talk back and forth even on that monitor.
It's pretty amazing.
So it is cool. And I think the cameras, can be very important. I know I've got people that are now coming to a caregiver support group. They're much more comfortable coming and staying the whole time because they're not constantly having to look at their watch and go, oh gosh, I wonder if he got out of the chair. I wonder if he wanted us to go outside. I wonder if he's going to the mailbox again. And they can instantly see, oh good, he's still sitting in the chair watching that damn news program. You know, but it can definitely give a sense of security to you as a caregiver.
Yeah, and also here I'm going to piggyback on that by saying, you know, okay, so maybe you're not technically savvy, like you and I are not technically
exactly
savvy. You know, who do we turn to for
15-year-olds?
Yeah.
Any 15-year-olds.
So, yeah, if you have a niece, nephew, grandson, or somebody that can, hey, I want to put these cameras up, but I really don't know what I'm doing, they can help you. But also, both of us recently have called a local computer repair store to ask for advice. Mm-hmm. And I'm 85, 90% sure that if you let them know your situation and told them that you needed to install these cameras and you had no idea how to do any of it, they would probably send somebody out to help, or at least call you. You could go to that shop and they could get everything set up on your phone and everything. And all you have to do is, you know, place the camera where you want it.
Yeah.
So,
don't let that,
don't let it stop you.
Somebody out there that'll be able to give you a hand. YouTube video.
Yeah. And YouTube videos. You have to be open. When you're caring for someone, this is not a one-person job. Mm-mm, it's just not. And so you do have to kind of humble yourself a little bit and say, I can't do this, and that's okay.
Pull that parachute line as often as you need to to get help, because that's what people want to do. You know, we've talked about that before, too. People often say, oh, what can I do to help? Or I wish I could help. Well, it can be something very simple like that. It doesn't have to be a big thing you're asking for. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be very minor. And that person feels good that they were able to do a little something for you.
Yeah.
You know,
somebody told me once, you don't want to block someone else's blessing.
Absolutely.
So if someone wants to bless you, it's very nice and humble for you to go, oh, no, that's okay. That's just me. I do it myself. You're kind of blocking someone else's blessing.
Absolutely.
Because it makes them feel good to be able to help.
You're giving them a gift, the gift of letting them help you.
It works out. It works out.
Yeah.
We're almost, boy, these videos are going by really fast. We haven't even gotten to different spots of the house. Doorways, are they well lit? And that kind of brings me around to something else I was thinking about. Bathrooms being well lit at night, you know, have a night light.
Always.
Now they sell this
like a
rope
strip
light
that
can go right underneath the cabinet.
Yeah.
So you can see the floor.
Perfect.
You can actually, there's something that you can hang on the side of the toilet that lights up the toilet bowl. Now you can get all that stuff on Amazon, and it doesn't cost that much. And that's really helpful for people with cognitive issues or sight issues. Where they can actually see the toilet to go to the bathroom.
There really are, we'll talk about this probably in another segment, but there are a lot of adaptive devices that are available for folks with different types of handicap, whether it be, you know, physical or otherwise, but there really are a lot of things that are, and they're usually available through, you know, the AARP information Medicare sometimes has programs and presentations. Any senior type organization will all often have information that, you know, you can follow up with or ask about. But
we didn't get to the yard or the...
We didn't get outside the door.
I know, right? We didn't get outside the door. So let's think about it. You know, if you're walking up the steps to your house or the walkway. Steps. Make sure that there's some sort of rail there, or that, you know, you're with your person. I mean, you probably already know this, but, you know, when you're just getting into it, you don't think about those things. And if that person is not too steady on their feet, or maybe they've been sitting in the car for a long time and now they're being asked to get up.
Yeah.
And sometimes when older people stand up too quickly, they can lose their balance and get like a little lightheaded.
Yeah.
Which kind of, we were talking about patience earlier.
Yeah, that's going to have to be another segment.
I know.
Because
we're running out of time. But yeah, patience is a safety, part of safety.
Absolutely.
Having patience with that person. Yes, it's important. You know, you have to get on a phone call at 3 o'clock and we're just getting out of the car and it's quarter till and this person is taking a long time to get out of the car and walk up to the house. You know, you have got to put it in your mind that things are going to take at least 15, 20 minutes longer than they mm-hmm. normally did before.
Yeah.
You know,
find something that you can do, you know, count, say a little prayer, do a little meditation, yeah. something that will give that person time to process what perhaps they've been asked to do mm-hmm. and actually, and we'll talk about it next time, you mm-hmm. know, be able to process it and then have it happen. It's, right. it's, everything's going to take more time. Sometimes it's a minute or more before the person is actually able to right. cognitively understand what was said to them or asked of them. So by the time you're impatient waiting for an answer, they're still trying to figure out how to get that answer that they're just processing out. So right. It's a different,
right.
it's a different and, process yeah. and a different time frame.
And physically too, it just, you know, if there's not a cognitive issue or anything like that, but physically, as you age, you know, you just become slower in things.
Hello.
But if people feel rushed or they feel like they're yeah. a burden or they're inconveniencing, they will rush themselves. And mm-hmm. the next thing you know, they're tripping over their feet.
Or they'll shut down and say, no, yeah. I'm not going.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people right? have we had say, I've been trying to get to my mom to the doctor's appointment. This is the fourth time she's refusing to get up and go at the last minute.
So, right. That's probably why. Because, yeah. yeah. Because, yeah. You know, they don't want to feel rushed. And, you know, sometimes if there's a doctor's appointment on a day, that's going to take all day maybe yeah. with some people. But we are running out of time. Just check your lights and just make sure rooms are very well lit.
Lighting, make sure everything's stable. Make sure if there are wooden stairs, they're stable and they're mm-hmm. in place. And the hand railing is stable mm-hmm. and not loose. So just checking for normal, you know, wear and tear kind of items.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were talking about uneven areas, you know, they sell duct tape in every color yeah. you can think of. So if you do see, you know, an area that might be unstable or uneven mm-hmm. ground or whatever, you know, put a big X there. It's okay. It's not pretty,
yeah.
but it'll help that person not step in that area and then possibly have a fall right. and you're spending, you know, hours, maybe yeah. days in the hospital.
Right.
So anyway,
yes,
that was a real quick one. I don't know.
I think we have to wrap it up.
Yeah, we have to wrap it up.
So we're still here for you. As always, reach out to us.
If you or someone you know is caring for others, please feel free to share this podcast with them. You can listen online at wwer.org.
Please send questions, concerns, or suggestions for future topics to our email, carepartners@wwer.org.
And we'll do our best, regardless of where you are in the U.S. I don't know, you know, about Canada or anywhere else, but regardless of where you are in the U.S., we can always look something up online mm-hmm. and just try to help you.
Yep.
And
get a resource.
Yeah, get a resource for you. But anyway, okay. we thank you so
thank
much.
You.
As we move along, you know, maybe we'll get that production crew we're yes. looking for. Anyway,
okay.
have a great
Take
day.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.